But I'm sorting out with diet, so it's all getting sorted.
Morning, everybody. Cold? Yeah, it is. I'll tell you, it's colder here than it is there. So, welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the Sunday next before Advent, the feast we call Christ the King. I don't like reading the notices out of the notice sheet, but just to remind you that next week we'll have the Bishop of Oxford with us. He will be both leading and preaching. Try and look a bit more enthusiastic about that. Take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves for worship. Week by week, we come to this, our temple, to be cleansed from our sins, to remember a particular sacrifice, one on a cross, and in that act of remembering, to worship our God, to offer our own sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and then to offer our lives again in his service. So let's start that act of worship by standing to sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 77, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit on you for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our collect prayer for today. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to sit, Jean and Marie will read to us from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning to read at verse 11. "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tender them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. I will tend them in a..." "There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 234, Immortal, Invisible.
Invisible, invisible, in the Lord's divine.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This is the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we begin at verse 31. So Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem, and he said this to his disciples. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the Gospel of the Lord. So may I speak only in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So next week is Advent. And as I said at the beginning, the Bishop of Oxford will be joining us here at St Margaret's for our Sunday morning worship. Critically, though, this means that there are now only 28 shopping days left before Christmas. But more importantly, Advent is the start of our new church year. And therefore, by definition, this must mean that this Sunday marks the end of the current year. But this isn't just the last Sunday of the current church year, is it? It's also the last festival of the church year. It's the feast that we call Christ the King. Now, as feast days goes, this is fairly recent innovation, first instituted by Pope Pius XI when he published his encyclical back in December 1925. And this celebration grew out of the Pope's concern at the increasing secularisation of the world around him, and in particular, what he saw as the rise of the atheistic communist movement at the time. He saw this as a direct result of man's turning away from Christ's sovereignty, and man's denying the authority of Christ's church. His remedy was a festival to remind the church that Jesus really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this is the day when we remember that Jesus is the God of all creation, of water, of earth, and of sky. We remember that the heavens are his and the universe declares his majesty. Today we're reminded that Jesus wasn't just a baby born in a manger, nor was he just a man hanging on a cross. While Jesus was fully human, he was completely divine. This is the Jesus who died on a cross, who died for our sins, who died because he loved us. And this places Jesus way, way beyond any ordinary king. So where kings and queens still exist today, they are mostly contained within a carefully constructed framework of democracy. They are usually constitutional monarchs rather than absolute rulers. Of course, there are still places in the world today where there are autocratic, dictatorial, if not to say despotic, rulers. But in the world of Jesus' time, this was more the rule rather than the exception. And people also knew how kings became kings. Often the crown would pass from father to son, or possibly another close male relative. But from time to time, there'd be a revolution or a civil war, and faction would fight faction. For anyone who was not a direct family descendant, the only way to the crown was through violence. In complete contrast then, Jesus didn't wage war on anyone. He didn't attack his neighbours. He didn't even attack his enemies. Jesus did wage war, though, against sin, death, and the power of the devil. And he did all this, not by fighting what we would call the usual kind of battle, but by dying on a cross. Our gospel reading this morning started with the words, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory." Perfect description of a king, if ever there was one. And it goes on to describe how that king will exercise his authority and his judgment. But from what we know of Jesus, his kingship and authority are a challenge to most human understandings of power. And that's an important point, and it's one that we need to make often, because by and large, it's one we don't really want to hear. The trouble is that we're now hearing about Christ's kingship and authority as a society that's in a terrible muddle about leadership. Much as you might like to, you can't hold up a standard model of worldly power to contrast with the biblical one, because there doesn't actually seem to be a standard model of worldly power. There are so many things that point to the fact that we simply don't know what we want from our heroes and our leaders, that we don't know what it is that we're looking for. On the one hand, people beg for strong leadership, but the minute that leadership does something they don't like, they turn around and accuse them of refusing to listen to the people, that they're setting aside democracy. This seems to have been a constant theme in recent times. Or we set up our heroes, sports people, actors, models, pop stars, whose wealth and opportunity we envy, but we seem only to be able to tolerate their success for a short time, and soon we can't wait to discover that they're secretly, deeply miserable people. In other words, we're fickle and hard to lead and inspire, because we've no real understanding of our own deepest needs and desires. All we do know is that those desires are not being properly fulfilled. So at this point, I just want to say a few words about God's kingdom. When Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world, that wasn't to imply that God's kingdom was in some way otherworldly, a spiritual or a heavenly reality that has nothing to do with this present world at all. That's not the point. After all, Jesus taught his disciples to pray that God's kingdom would indeed come on earth as it did in heaven. Now, the real point here is that Jesus' kingdom doesn't come from this world. Of course it doesn't. The world, as all the gospel accounts make clear, is the source of evil and rebellion against God. That's why Jesus came into the world himself, and why he has sent and continues to send his followers into the world. His kingdom doesn't come from this world, but it is for this world. And there is a crucial difference. All of this was completely foreign to Pilate's understanding of what a kingdom was all about. But this is the kingdom to which all true Christians belong. So back to where I started. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now I wonder, what are you actually thinking as I talk about Christ as a king, king in all our lives? Does it actually mean for Christ to be king in our lives? Which takes us to the so what question. What does it mean for our lives when we leave this church at the end of the service this morning? So what does it matter on Monday, Tuesday, or on Wednesday, or any time in the rest of the week, that Christ is king? It's all well and good for us to declare that Jesus is the king when we're here in church, sitting amongst the ranks of the faithful. But what happens when, or even if, we dare to proclaim that Jesus is Lord when we're with people who may not quite agree? So what happens when we dare to proclaim that Jesus is Lord to people who have never heard about Jesus or experienced him in the same way that we have? Can we all say that Jesus is Lord? And if we do, is he truly Lord of our lives? The Lord of our whole lives? Jesus, Lord of our time? Do we give of our time for the Lord's work? And if we do, do we give enough? And do we give it willingly? Or do we find ourselves saying, it's cold, it's wet, I'm tired, it's someone else's turn? Is Jesus Lord of our sensibilities? And by this I mean, do we care more about how other people see us than how Jesus sees us? Are we embarrassed to hide our faith from our friends and our family? Do we observe the old dinner party taboo about not discussing politics or religion at the dinner table? Do we give thanks to the Lord before eating when we are with friends and family? And when we're in company, do we find it easier to pretend that we didn't hear the off-colour joke rather than share how uncomfortable it made us? Do we object when people swear or blaspheme in our presence? Is Jesus Lord of our money? Would we rather see the Lord's work through our church fail for lack of funds rather than give out of our plenty? Would we rather see our church building suffer from lack of maintenance than honour God's call to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse? This morning's not the time for a lecture on the need to give back to God that which is God's and which he provided in the first place. Suffice to say two things. One is that the prophet Malachi makes very clear that failure to honour the tithe amounts to robbing God, despite his promise to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. The other is that it is ridiculous to think that we can call Jesus Lord of Lords and, on the other hand, hold back that which is rightfully his. Our life is not our own, because Jesus lives in us. When Christ is King of our lives, we don't need to worry. Since God is busy providing for all our needs, we are free to be busy living for others, free to invite others to meet the God who meets us in both the Word and the Sacrament. A while back now, when I was at theological college, in the bar on a Saturday night, we were a proper bunch of nerds. We didn't talk about Christianity. We were typical theological students. The longer we stayed in the bar, the more we drank. The more we drank, the holier we got. We used to talk about what we called the Jesus movement, and what Jesus might have meant when he said, "Make disciples of all nations." And I remember making my friend laugh when I said that Jesus had believers coming out of his ears. But joking aside, Jesus has around 2.4 billion people worldwide who claim to follow him. That's pretty much one third of the world's entire population. But you see, it's not about having the largest group. It's about having a movement of people all living and breathing Jesus. Never once in his entire life did Jesus ask for more believers. His call was for more disciples. And there's a significant difference between believers and disciples. But you'll be pleased to hear that's a sermon for another day. But before I finish, Scripture has a word of warning for us all. Matthew, in his Gospel, records Jesus as saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Today we've come to worship him. Today we come hopefully understanding that it is he, the servant king, that we proclaim as majesty, kingdom authority, and that it is he who is crowned, was crowned, is crowned, will be crowned again, King of all kings. So as we celebrate this feast day of Christ the King, the invitation to us all is to answer the question, so what? How is Christ King in our lives? How are our lives different because God has laid claim on them? How can we improve our relationship with this Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, aiming to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? The Archbishop of York summed it up nicely when he said, "If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If you squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. But if you squeeze a Christian, do you get Jesus?" As we seek to answer these questions, not just today, but every day, may we all know the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and which will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sit or kneel for our intercessions.
Our Saviour, Christ the King, awaken us to your glory, open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your call, and open our hearts to your love, that we may give ourselves to you and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We pray to our Lord through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is both Christ the King and the Son of Man, and who understands our needs and the needs of this world. Lord, we pray for your church, of which your Son is King. We pray that you will draw us together and unite us in the love of Christ, that we may proclaim with one voice your justice and righteousness in a broken world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for your world, of which your Son is King. We pray for peace, reconciliation, and healing in Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza, and places of war and hatred. We pray that the nations of this world may be united and experience the love of Christ the King, through whom and for whom all things were created. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our communities, of which your Son is King. We pray for the communities of our friends and families, our churches of St. Margaret's and Holy Trinity, and our places of work and study. We pray for the first and middle schools and their Christingle services, and ask that they learn something of your love through being here together. Help us to know the people around us to be our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to serve them as Christ the King would serve them. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering, among whom your Son is King. We pray that they will know the presence of Christ the King alongside them and the power of Christ the King in their lives. We pray that you will surround them with your love and support, and in our hearts, we bring to you, Lord, all those known to us who need your peace and your healing according to their needs at this time. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we give thanks for all that you do in our lives. We give up to you all those for whom we have prayed, and we ask that you use us and our prayers to make a difference in their lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and King. Amen.
Amen.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we could sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 456, O Worship the King. Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Please sit on him for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, so we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Thank you. top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. As we say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, you declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So before we sing our last hymn, we ought to find out what this lot have been doing.
Indeed.
So, well, look, let me tell you what we've been doing. We've been talking about Christ the King. So how he is King, how he is Lord, he's Lord of everything, he's Lord of our lives. So now you're going to tell me you just ain't completely different, aren't you? Yeah.
I made a card for my best friend because I'm going over to our house.
Come in.
Our theme today was, I don't know, Thanksgiving. And it was about saying thank you. And I made a card for my best friend to give to her today because I'm having a play date with her.
We also made a pumpkin today that has everything we're thankful for, what God's thankful for, and what we're thankful for.
Sorry, I'll do it. Well done. Well done, everybody. Does everybody know what the next hymn is?
Yeah, do it.
So the next hymn is 551. One of the best things about being the preacher is that you get to choose the hymns. And Deborah's not here, but she will be laughing at this point because she knows absolutely this is my all-time favourite hymn. So if we all stand, we'll sing our final hymn, 551, Thine Be the Glory. So hang around, who's going to do the acclamation? Okay, so stay on here and you do the acclamation, yeah?
Well, you're not going to the front row and then she can come out.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Shall we go to our homes with this blessing? And so may the Father who loves you, the Son who sends you, the Spirit who empowers you, be with you and bless you, wherever you are, whatever you do, whoever you are with, to his praise and glory, this day and always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.